Theme music for The Spot Report, courtesy of Pastor Casper McLeod and Renee Truax. Thank you, friends.
There's a spot for you over here.
Hi, friends, and welcome to The Spot Report. I'm your co-host, Pastor Mike, and joined once again by my partner in ministry, my wife, Kathy.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing today?
How you doing?
I knew as soon as I said that you were going to do it. How you doing? Okay. Well, yeah. There you go, folks. We're going to start off on a good foot today.
Well, we talked about in the last episode, hey, we've been married for 40 years. So you pretty much know what's going to come out of my mouth. So
we certainly do. I tell you. We finish sentences on a regular.
Whoa, see? That's what I'm talking about. I know what you're going to say.
We finish sentences on a regular basis, don't we?
Yeah, we said that at the same time. That's scary, isn't it, folks? That is scary. So we've been talking about last several episodes. We've been talking about how to find a good ecclesia, and we've talked about a number of things. So in the last episode, we left off with this idea that the leadership of the ecclesia should be not just aware of what's happening in the world today, the issues, I call them hot button issues, but are they speaking about those things? That's the point. Are they using them as illustrations of what the Bible has to say? Because folks, God has a word to say. There is not a subject or topic, certainly not that's out of bounds for him. He speaks to everything. The Bible speaks to everything today in some sense. So if in my view, if a pastor or the leadership of the church refuses to talk about things, well, transgenderism, that would be one today that's in the headlines. If they are saying, oh, we're not going to touch that subject, we're not going to, because we don't want to offend. Hey, listen. Jesus said, I am a rock of offense.
That's right.
I am a stumbling stone. You think that you're serving the Lord by trying to be non-confrontational, unoffensive to people? This idea of niceness has so pervaded your thinking that you're not going to say anything about the issues that culture is at war over. Well, friends, if you have visited a place like that, or if you're currently in a church that has that attitude, then let me tell you, just get out of there. Get out of there right now, because they are off course. They are off course. How are folks, Kathy, let me ask you this question, give you an opportunity to answer this. How are folks supposed to understand what the scripture says about the issues of life, the subjects that are being debated and even argued over in our culture? How are Christians going to understand what the Bible says if pastors or ministry leaders refuse to talk about them?
I agree 100%, Mike. Especially if they're not reading it for themselves. I mean, I can understand if they're reading it for themselves and they get their own opinions and all that, and they're attending a church where the pastor doesn't speak about it, that would be a red flag, like you mentioned before. But pastors, you need to speak about this stuff from the pulpit. What does your church say about abortion, for example? You know, mm-hmm. Mike mentioned transgenderism and all of that. But, you know, if your church is flying a rainbow flag out in the front and with a sign sporting everyone is welcome, might need to consider what the pastor's preaching from the pulpit, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, well, if they're flying a rainbow flag, you should not be seeing that as you're walking in the doors of that place. You should be seeing that as you're passing by in your car going to another ecclesia. I mean, that defies reason, logic, and a Christian worldview that people believe that they are somehow following God by flying rainbow flags and using all of these value laden words that shows that I'm up to date on what the culture values, and I want you to, boy, what a,
I hate seeing that where it says everyone is welcome here, because you want to feel like your church feels that way on a daily basis. Everybody's welcome, right?
Of course.
But the way they're saying it with that rainbow flag, what does that tell you?
Well, what they're saying
is, come here if you're a practicing homosexual, if you're a transgender, you're welcome to come here, regardless if you're practicing. Come on in, right?
And we will affirm you in your sin. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
We will.
That's it.
We will affirm you. We will agree with you that you have the right to this expression and believe that it is encompassed in Christianity. That's what they're saying. So I think any church should say everyone is welcome here, because they are. Everyone is welcome. However, that doesn't mean that if you are living a certain way, in a way that the Bible defines as sinful or even as an abomination to the Lord, that we're going to affirm that or celebrate that or encourage you to continue in that, then it doesn't mean that if you would walk in and you're living a certain kind of way that the scripture speaks against, that we're going to attack you for that. Absolutely not. We're going to welcome you. We want you to be there, but that is not going to lead us to deviate from the teaching of the Word of God. We're going to continue to speak the truth of the Word of God, and we'll allow the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do, which is bring conviction and a change of heart and a change of mind. I don't think we should be belittling people that we're trying to reach and bring to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the challenge, of course, in this area, dear, is those that come in and believe they are saved and believers, and yet they're practicing things that clearly are sinful. So that's a challenge today. So you mentioned abortion. That's, for me personally, that's a primary one, because if we cannot stand to protect innocent life, to stand for the sanctity of human life, to protect those who cannot protect themselves, how in the world are we going to do that for anybody else?
Boy, that's for sure. That speaks volumes, Mike.
Yeah.
You mentioned in the past about being an abolitionist. Do you want to explain what that is to folks? What's the difference between just being against abortion and being an abolitionist?
So an abolitionist is saying basically that there are no instances when we should be killing unborn babies. See, pro-life folks, they are pro-life, but in a sense, we could say, well, not in all instances. They'll say in the cases, you know, they'll give three or four or five exceptions to why it's okay to kill babies. And
like in the case of rape. So they're saying, you know, if a woman is raped, it's okay for her to have an abortion.
Right. And my response to that would be, why is the unborn baby paying the penalty for the sin of the rapist?
Right.
So when we give exceptions, we're actually not pro-life. We're pro-life with qualifications. And it's been my experience over the years that Christians will do that. They'll say, well, I'm pro-life, but if you point out these things, well, what about this? Well, yeah, with that. So they're pro-life with qualifications because they think that makes them appear or they even feel themselves that that is somehow more compassionate. And my response has been, how is it that you think you're more compassionate if you allow for exceptions so that killing, murdering unborn children is okay in this context? And then you've got one, two, three, four, or five, whatever the case might be. That's not actually compassion. That's actually a lack of compassion for the unborn. And we just saw, I don't know if this is off subject or not, but we just the other day, dear, we went to, I think we were going to the grocery store, and we pulled up and parked. And when we got out, we saw a sticker on the back of the of an SUV that said something to the effect, keep your laws
off my body. Yeah.
Off my body. And, you know, it's times like that when I wish I had a whole stack of stickers that I would carry with me in my vehicle so that I could put a sticker right next to that that says, that unborn baby in your womb is not your body. Because that's the simple truth. It is that unborn baby is in your body because that's how God has designed us biologically. And for a woman to take the stance that this thing is my body, and so I have the right to end its life, is just simply demonic. So abortion, that's to me, Christians should be abolitionists. And I can tell you something else. And this is a very disheartening fact, but it's a fact nonetheless. In too many states, when abolitionist legislation is gaining ground and has a chance to win, you know who kills it? You know who torpedoes it in the state legislatures? It is almost always pro-life legislators. Can you believe it that pro-life legislators would torpedo a bill that would abolish completely abortion? Now, I'm happy to say that at the time of this recording, more and more states are adopting what are called heartbeat bills, heartbeat legislation, which says that abortions are outlawed the moment a heartbeat is detectable. So that's a very good sign, but I do not call myself, I try not to slip into that habit of calling myself pro-life. I believe that we need to abolish abortion completely. So where does the ecclesia you're visiting stand on that? If they are for abortion, then you're in the wrong church, because that's not actually a church. That's a social club where they've left the mandates of the scriptures to protect the innocent. Let's talk about this idea of wokeness, dear, because this is boy, it is captured so many churches and completely destroyed them. Progressive Marxist liberalism has gone off the rails with this social justice, wokeness, virtue signaling. And of course, the spearhead for that most recently, although, you know, the history of this goes all the way back into the 1800s, late 1800s, certainly into the early 1900s, with Gramsci and the Fabian socialists and all these kinds of things. What we've seen happen in America with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and some of these other radical groups, just as the neo-Nazis and the skinheads, as they are called, adopted the philosophy and the worldview of others, fascists, Nazis, and so on, so has Black Lives Matter and Antifa adopted the worldview of cultural Marxism, and that's what the entire industry, and I call it an industry purposely, social justice is an industry today, where social justice warriors, these Black Lives Matter, they received, this is common knowledge, they received billions of dollars in support and donations from corporations, hoping to avoid being accused of being insensitive to whatever these social justice warriors declared they needed to subscribe to. So this is all demonic, friends. It's really become a, I think in this booklet that, if, by the way, these points are available to anybody that would like them. It's put together in a 12-page PDF booklet called Choose Wisely. If you would like to receive it in its entirety, then email me at cmspalding2@gmail.com. cmspalding, then the number 2@gmail.com. And I'll send it to you. But this whole idea of being woke is so much demonic, anti-God vitriol. This incorporates the whole idea that white supremacy is actually a thing and is systemic in America's government and institutions, and it's something that needs to be rooted out and destroyed. Listen, that's a bunch of poppycock and fairy dust is what that is. That is yeah. Nonsense. This nation, the United States, do we have a history of brutality? Absolutely. There's no question about that. Name me one nation in the world that does not. That's right. We all have a story and a background. And does that mean that story and that background can be spun and woven into a narrative today that holds an entire classification of people as guilty of what transpired hundreds of years ago? Well, those that propagate critical race theory and all these other things, they would say yes to that. They would absolutely say yes to that. But you see, that goes hand in hand with Marxism, which is nothing more than designed and governmentally enforced theft, taking from those that have to give to those who do not, and calling it compassion. It's entirely demonic, this whole idea that encompasses wokeness. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you visit and they're sold out to cultural Marxism, and it'll become very, very apparent, if they're teaching anything remotely related to critical race theory, do not stay. In fact, if you notice that early in the service, I'd get up and walk out. I wouldn't even stay. Kathy, I'll let you comment, because I've been rambling for a minute.
No, I agree with what you're saying, Mike. The whole Black Lives Matter, you know, I don't understand why only Black lives would matter. I mean, aren't all lives precious? And we certainly couldn't say white lives matter, right? Could we say that?
Well, people have tried to say that, and they've received some very vicious responses from that. I guess I would point out, dear, if you truly believe that Black lives matter, then my Black brothers and sisters and my white brothers and sisters that are proponents, that are cheerleaders for Black Lives Matter and these critical race kind of theologies, if you really believe that, then you should be out protesting in front of every abortion mill. The closest one to where you live, you should be out protesting that, because listen, here's a statistic. 16% of black pregnancies in America end in abortion. If black lives matter, then why aren't you out there stopping the genocide in the black community, the black population in America? And listen, this isn't just me. This is black people saying this. If black lives really matter, friends, if you believe that black lives matter as it is manifested through BLM, now I would say that's, I don't understand how you can support Black Lives Matter as it is currently structured and how it currently manifests itself. But the first thing you would do is you would be out there protesting in front of the abortion mills. But the second thing that you would be doing is you'd be raising the issue of Black Lives Matter. Then when is someone going to stand up and tell black people to quit shooting other black people? Do you know the number one origin of black homicides is another black person? Blacks are murdering one another at an unprecedented rate. But you don't hear anybody saying anything about that. Why is that if black lives matter? And the other thing, right, if black lives matter, then why aren't people demanding that this gangsta music from the hood is stopped and taken off the air? Because you know, most of that garbage glorifies the gangster lifestyle of subjecting women, using them as nothing more than sexual objects, treating other black people with disrespect. The music industry, if black lives matter, then why are you using blacks to devalue and degrade other blacks? Mm-hmm. See, the whole thing is clearly demonic, because they don't really mean it. What they're doing with Black Lives Matter and Antifa as well is they're leveraging and trying to create guilt in the minds of whites, but they're also trying to leveraging corporations who are fearful of being tagged as somehow being racist. And so these corporations are coughing up billions of dollars to make these people go away. That's what it amounts to. Is simply so. Wow, I got bogged down on that one, didn't I? So if you walk into an ecclesia, friends, and they're woke, just get out, turn around, do an about face, and get out of that place, because you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place.
I will affirm exactly what you said. Yes, get out, get out.
Yeah. So, In addition to that, so if they're doing it, get out of there. But also look for an ecclesia that's standing against that stuff. Does the body of believers that you're visiting this ecclesia, are they going to stand against progressive politics that fuels, aids, and abets, provides political cover and support for wokeness? And listen, there's a whole spectrum of this. Social justice and all of these things, are they supporting or standing upon worldviews, ideas that do not honor God and in His Word? And I'll tell you something, friends. There's no such thing as Democrats, Republicans, Independents today. We are living right now in a uniparty country. We have one party, and their interest, their focus is not on the welfare of Americans. Their interest and their focus is on their own bank accounts. True. Their interest and their focus is on how they can continue to stay in their plush jobs while while pretending that they're overworked and underpaid and underappreciated. And it's all just a mirage. We are living under a political aristocracy today, friends. That is the reality of American politics. There's a reason why they call Washington, D.C. a cesspool.
Yes.
Because it really is. And so if the body of believers that you are visiting with do not show any inclination, you never see any hint that they're standing against these things today, and you may have to have a conversation. You may have to go directly to the pastor and ask him, what does this ecclesia believe about this? What about all this social justice? What about the so-called woke theology and thinking? Where does this ecclesia stand on those things? And if they tell you, well, we don't involve ourselves in any of those things, then you know that's not the ecclesia for you. Turn around and get out of that place. Because listen, we are in the mess that we're in to a large degree today in America because the church has remained silent.
Yes.
If anything, to borrow the picture of many of the Germans during World War II, they just tried to ignore Hitler and what was going on. They didn't want to know. In fact, one ecclesia, one testimony was they were located right beside a railroad track. And every Sunday during their time of gathering, there would be trains that would come by. And at first, they could hear the cries of the Jews on board those trains, cries for help. Surely, here is a church, a Christian church that says they serve God, a loving and compassionate God. And what did the people do? They sang louder to drown out the voices of those crying for help. So if you're in an ecclesia and that pastor tells you, oh, we don't get involved in that, we don't talk about that, that's the equivalent of just singing louder. They don't want to hear or be convicted, so they avoid the whole subject. Get out of that place, friends, because that is not the ecclesia for you. Well, dear, we made it through about point eight. I think we're going to have to wind this conversation down.
So I would just like to add, Mike, if anybody that's listening to this is looking for a church to attend and they can't seem to find one in their area, please email Mike at cmspalding2@gmail.com and just tell Mike where you're located at, and he'll be able to help you find an ecclesia in your area.
Yes, amen. Amen. And listen, you can always join us online, friends. We broadcast live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time, currently in the book of Revelation on Sunday morning, and we're finishing up the book of Ezekiel on Wednesday night, and the plan is currently to go to Philippians on Wednesday night once we're done with Ezekiel, to go to the book of Acts on Sunday mornings when we are done with Revelation. So cclohio.org to join us online there on our website, or we have a Rumble channel. Just check out Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio on Rumble. And we are also, Kathy and I are both on Facebook. Send us a friend request. We broadcast our services live on my personal page as well as the Calvary Chapel of Lima Facebook page. So, dear, that's all the time we have for this episode. We'll be back again with another, and we'll continue and wrap up this discussion.
Absolutely.